Hey everybody, welcome to Rider Club Radio, the podcast all about tokusatsu now, not just Kamen Rider.
Well, all about Toei's currently airing tokusatsu, I suppose.
Shut the fuck up. I'm your host, Jeff.
I'm Liam, and please let's not mislead anybody into thinking we're going to talk about, like, Jan Person or something on this podcast.
We might, if one of us starts watching Jan Person.
I guess we just did, if that counts.
Well, now it's all about tokusatsu.
Well, fuck.
Why don't you tell us... Well, actually, this week, we watched Kamen Rider Ghost Episode 22 and Animal Sentai Juojer. So, Liam...
Yes.
Why don't we start out by talking about everybody's favorite Kamen Rider Ghost. What happened on this week's episode?
Okay, so, this week on Kamen Rider Ghost, Igor decides to send the Knight to kill QB. The Knight comes back empty-handed, and Igor says, no, what are you doing? He get the fuck back out there. And he and, like, Steve Bills are plotting some kind of thing.
I still can't believe his name is Steve Bills.
Steve Bills. I think it's like Bill Gates and Steve Jobs mashed into one. Yeah.
All those white people have the same names. It doesn't matter.
Steve Bills. So they go... He sends out the Knight. Takeru survives in the Ganma world by having a big fucking fight scene with a whole bunch of mooks. And Adele unceremoniously murders his father, Adonis. And I have a billion and one questions about that scene, but I'm going to come back to those later. I'm so confused. But
What don't you understand about glowing hand explosion?
No, beam? It's way... Like, I'll come back to it. Holy fuck. Adele tries to frame Alan for the murder. He tells Aelia, he's like, Aelia, you know, Alan, he killed Dad. He killed Adonis, Ghost Dad. And Aelia's like, oh, wow, that's so horrible. And then the second he leaves, she's like, well, that's fucking bullshit, Adele. I know it was you. You piece of shit.
It probably would have helped if he didn't come into the room holding a bloody knife with bloodstains all over the front of it.
And he goes and he kills Alan now. And he says, this is the perfect crime. I'm going to kill Alan. And then he puts out a warrant for Alan's, second murder. Because if you kill somebody as an icon, they wake up as a real body. All the real bodies are in, like, a room, and Alan wakes up.
That was confusing for a second.
See, the logistics of this episode are all over the place. I'm going to talk about that later.
Yeah, we'll get into that in a minute.
Alan wakes up, and it seems to imply that he doesn't know that he was a human or something, because he wakes up and he's like, what the fuck is going on? I'm not dead. And Adele says...
It's good that he had a second set of his clothing there with him, though.
Yeah, he wakes up, he finds a change of clothes that's clean. And his brother says, oh, everybody, all of Ganma World, all look for Alan and kill him a second time, because I can't do it for some reason.
He's busy. He's the new emperor. He has to stand in a room with glass panels floating in the air and say gibberish.
Chant
all
nonsense.
Day,
yeah.
Every day.
It's a tough job. It's very demanding. So Ikari and Onari, they go to investigate Steve Bills, because the painter said that Igor had a special interest in the building, so they go to check out Steve Bills, but the Knight arrives, and they fight. They have a big fight, and they hold the Knight off, but not really. So the Knight goes to kill QB, and they're like, QB, I have an idea that can help us. Paint! Paint, QB! Paint with all your heart! And QB starts painting, and nothing really comes of that.
Yeah, QB paints Onari's head again, because that's all QB does.
Yeah. So, shit, this episode jumps around a lot. Takeru gets away from the fighting, he gets his ass kicked and he runs off, and he's in like an underground Ganma building, and he finds all the bodies that people have, and he's looking in one, and one just disintegrates, and he's like, what the fuck is all this? And Makoto is also in this room, but I don't think, he doesn't find Makoto.
Makoto's not in that room, because they show Makoto's body earlier, Alan standing over it, and it's in a room with only one other tube, which I'm guessing was Alan's tube.
Yeah, he's in a special room, I forgot. Yeah. So Makoto and Takeru, they regroup, and they catch up to Adele, and they fight him, and Adele turns into, like, a big monster man. He turns into his own kind of Ganma.
Yeah, he uses the Ultima icon.
Ultima,
which is a great game.
Well, depends on which one you're talking about. I mean, Ultima 9.
That's true.
So they escape by banishing Adele into the other dimension, the weird King Tut dimension, and he throws him in with his phone. They throw him in there.
Dimension.
The triangle dimension. They throw him in there, and then they run away. and they get all the icons, they find all the icons, and I fucking hope they grab them all. I don't think it's explicitly shown, but...
The only one that's ever shown getting picked up is Musashi, and he puts it in his jacket, and then he sees a big blank-ass piece of shit, and he's like, hey, this is an icon, right?
He picks up the icon driver G, and I hope he picks up the rest of the icons, and they bump into Necrom, and Necrom's like, listen, guys, I'm a fugitive now, so I guess I'm a good guy, so we gotta fight together and I can leave. So they all fight together, they all teleport out with the help of Necrom and Makoto, they teleport back into the Ganma world, or out of the Ganma world, and back in the human world, the Night Ganma decides that QB isn't worth killing, because he's such a worthless motherfucker. He's just like,
Well, he's mentally handicapped, you can't just murder the mentally challenged.
That shit's not ethical. That's so he says, you're not even worth killing, so I'm just going to wait for Takeru. And that was when I thought everyone was going to split up, but they just stand there. They're just like, Takeru will appear here.
What's up with that?
He'll appear here within the hour, probably. Let's just stand here and wait. And I guess they were right in the end, because Takeru comes out of a portal, and he fights...
Well, how did they know that? I didn't even think about that.
He fights the Night Ganma, and he kills the Night Ganma in honorable combat. And then, after that shit... More Javerts get made. Javert's body gets woken up by Adele.
I'm still gonna call him Javel. Javel. It's a much cooler name.
Yeah, I think the... I don't know. I think the official romanization is Javert.
Is it because on the wiki, which is of course filled with 100% correct information, his name is romanized as Jabel.
Well, over time when they changed it to Alain, they also changed Javel to Javert. So I assume that was because of some new information surfaced.
Maybe.
Yeah. That's what I assume.
We can call him Javert. That's
fuck fine. It. So that was episode 22. Jeff, what did you think?
There is some realistic acting in this episode. And there's some of the worst acting in this episode. The realistic acting is when there's a moment that I absolutely love in this episode where Takeru pops back into the real world and he lands and he's like, oh, and he gets back up. And the Night Ganma's like, now we will duel in honorable combat. And he's like, fine.
He's all tired. He's got like cuts and bruises all over him, and he's like, "Oh my god!"
That was like the most realistic response to that situation. He just goes, "Fine," and transforms.
Well, we will have our honorable final showdown. Let this be our final battle. Ah, fuck. Okay, shit. It's a Tokon.
The worst acting is any time the Emperor Ghost Dad is on screen. This entire series so far. He's the worst actor next to Redden and Injur. They're on equal playing field of their dialogue sounding like an alien is saying it. He doesn't understand speech.
I guess you liked this episode then, because he's fucking his icon gets shattered.
He's still alive, of course. His real body's still there.
Yeah, this
but
episode...
in that moment when he kills him, I was like, there's no way that that's his actual death scene.
No. God, I hope not. This episode, I hated it. I just want to come out and say that right away. I didn't like it at all.
Really?
I despised it, but,
I didn't feel that way about it, actually. We're actually... I didn't love this episode or anything, but we're on different ends of the spectrum here.
I guess so. Again, we are opposed. But it's like, this episode goes to show that just because an episode advances the plot doesn't mean I'm going to like it, because this episode advances the plot quite a bit, and I thought it was garbage. It's an episode that's...
There's some fucking pacing issues in this episode.
It has
no amount of tape could ever fix.
It has pacing issues, but also it has so much convenient writing, and also just nonsensical shit happening all the time. People are bumping into each other so conveniently, I don't understand how they were able to just... Like I said, they're like... Takeru will come back, we'll wait for him, and I thought that would be like...
That was stupid.
We'll wait 3 days or something, but they just stand there, and she's just standing there. But another thing I don't fucking get about this episode is, so he kills... Adele kills his father, right?
Yes.
But he doesn't bother to kill the real body. But with Alain, he kills Alain, but he knows that they have real bodies. He knows that they have real bodies separate from the icons, or else he wouldn't have ordered people to go and kill the real Alain, right?
Well, you know what the plot convenience that's going to make up for that plot hole later is?
What?
That he's stuck inside his capsule, and Adele knew that.
That's probably going to be it.
So it'll be some big reveal thing later, like Alan's like, my father, I can save my father!
Why didn't he stick Alain inside? Why didn't he put some chains around Alan's capsule before he killed him?
He didn't think it through. Have you seen the man's earrings? He doesn't think anything through.
The point is, a lot of stuff happens in this episode, and it happens in a very nonsensical manner, and the plot has a tendency to sort of jump around, and the monster plot, the plot with the knight, is so tacked on and pointless that it feels like a big tumor hanging off of an episode that would have been mediocre on its own, has this big fucking thing hanging off of it where it's just like, he gets back and the A plot is resolved for the episode, and then the knight says, we gotta fight, and he says, oh, okay, kills her in 30 seconds. Oh, that's the episode, alright, boys. Good job.
This episode advanced the plot, like, way further than any other episode did. It had some really fucking cool stunts in it.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Some great, real explosions. It had some good cinematography, and there was actual emotion in some of the scenes, like Takeru feeling that man's memories and seeing all the people die.
Yeah, and that was a pretty good scene, I'll give you that.
And it's like haunting him now at the end of the episode.
Yeah.
And we got to learn a little bit more about the Ganma world, how everybody's an icon because their bodies are stored and their it seems like their souls are being used for something.
Something, yeah, because Igor says their souls are like a resource.
Yeah. The plot with the knight was tacked on, and I felt like that was absolutely, like, we need to get rid of this character real fast, and we can't just have Igor kill her, because we set her up for something.
They set her up for something, maybe they weren't even sure what, but this is it.
So, that was shit. You're right, that whole subplot was shit. It was actually really nice to see Onari and Akari doing their best to keep a monster at bay.
Yeah. And
actually somewhat succeeding. That was pretty nice.
They did their best. It's nice that they're doing stuff, but the thing about Ghost is that it does, even in episodes when it does stuff with its plot, and even in episodes when it uses its secondary characters, I still don't really like any of the characters. Like, I can say right now that I don't really have a favorite character in Ghost, because I don't care about any of them.
QB, maybe.
QB, I guess, because he's just simple and genuine, but everybody else is just like this walking plot advancement. If you're lucky, they're a plot advancement. Otherwise, they just sort of hang around.
You're right. Ghost hasn't drawn me in the same way that some other tokusatsu that we're watching right now has really drawn me in with the characters and their relationships. But I have to give the show props for advancing the plot, for trying when it comes to cinematography and action, which had really fallen off in the past 4 or 5 episodes.
Oh, yeah.
And the escape from Ganma World bit, where they're, like, haggard and they have to keep fighting to make their way out, I enjoyed those parts. I really did not enjoy the night. You're right about that.
I felt like the part where they're all haggard could have been done a little better.
Oh, that's true.
And this is a part when there's a lot of time when the physical acting out of suit and the physical acting in suit doesn't really match up. Like, Ghost is tired.
Yeah, that was a problem I had.
Yeah.
Every time they transform, they're completely refreshed.
They just move normally, even though they're all beaten up and tired. And I guess
that's
a super
tokusatsu thing in general.
Yeah, I suppose. I know, Kamen Rider's had some damn good suit acting, and there are a lot of Rider series. I think Tendo Soji is one that I especially like, where you can, even when he's fully transformed and you can't see his face, the way he moves, you can be like, that's Tendo. I can tell right away. Even if it was a different Rider suit, you know that's Tendo. And Ghost,
I feel like
doesn't,
he's like Denno for that, actually.
Yeah, oh yeah, because Denno has different personalities, right?
Yeah, his different personalities, the in-suit acting for each personality is worlds different.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I like stuff like that, and when Ghost's characters transform, I don't really see any of that, especially when they're supposed to be, like in this episode, they're supposed to be all haggard and tired, or there's like an estate that would suggest the suit acting would be a certain way, and it doesn't really go that way. I don't care for that.
I didn't hate this episode like you did.
I did not like it.
I really feel like I'm only judging the episode based on the episodes around it, though. If I took it to the extreme of thinking, you know, what about other Rider series? This wasn't really a good episode.
Well, I guess by Ghost standards, it wasn't bad, but boy, not a lot of things are bad by Ghost standards.
our opinion is sliding in this fucking series as it goes along. Like, Liam has gotten to the point where he's just like, this is shit, fuck it. And I'm like, well, it's this episode wasn't as garbage as previous episodes, so...
There are no more pretenses on this podcast. It's all gone.
Oh, we tried to make sure we didn't piss off too many people, but who gives a shit?
Now at this point, I mean, it's not a secret anymore.
This episode wasn't, like, I didn't love it. I thought it was alright. I liked it. There have been better episodes in this series, but not many.
I did not care for it. It had a tacked-on monster plot. It jumped around too much. I didn't think the suit acting was as good as it could have been. And I don't like any of the characters. It was a plot that was very character-focused, but, like, you gotta do more to flesh them out.
They introduced us to these characters in a way that made us not like them. They were annoying, and their personalities were very one-dimensional.
Wait, which characters? All of them, or...?
All of them.
All of them.
Like, every time a character was introduced, except when Makoto was a villain...
Yeah.
Makoto as a villain had pathos and made me interested to see where his story was going, and it turns out that in 5 or 6 episodes it was going to be not that interesting.
Yeah, that was way... His whole plot line when he started was way too interesting, and the writer said, we gotta shut this shit down right now. I can't have this.
It was tough to get interested in anything these characters were doing.
It's just that...
In general, in this series, because I don't really... Akari, Onari, they're all nice characters. They're all friendly, but I don't hate them or anything, but I just don't give a shit about them, you know?
They're boring.
Yeah.
They're boring because they have no depth.
There's no depth to them, and they try to make up for them being boring by having them act, like, over-exuberant.
Like, oh, they can't be boring if they... You know, do a lot of body acting and jump around. Yeah. No, they can
be
pretty...
If they're yelling a lot, then they're exciting.
They can be pretty fucking boring, yeah. They still are.
That's been my problem the whole series. I can't get into these characters.
Yeah, it's a shame. That's a shame.
Especially Takeru, like... Takeru? He still doesn't really have a concrete personality. He is main character man.
I read an article, like, years and years ago, and I was reminded of it this week. Is that some people theorize that a lot of newer Kamen Rider protagonists are purposely kind of bland so that the viewer can project their own personality onto them.
Oh god, I don't want to be Takeru.
But that makes for a shitty protagonist, so I don't know if that's... Even if it's on purpose, I can't get behind it at all.
I don't know if that's particularly true. I mean, maybe it was true with Coda, because his personality kept shifting.
I could see that with Coda. I could see it with Wizard, who...
Yeah,
kinda...
well, Haruto, to begin with, had sort of a... It seemed like he was almost going to go, like, a Tendo Soji decade kind of route. Where
yeah.
He was going to be, like, a smarmy dickhead.
Yeah.
But they didn't really go all the way with that, even in the first few episodes. And then it was bland city from then on out.
Yeah, it's a shame. And maybe Takeru is kind of like that. Like, they don't want to make him... I don't know. I don't know if it's like a... They just want kids to be able to see themselves in Takeru, so they make him purposely vague, so that... I think that's shit, though.
If you want to make a character that the audience can see themselves as, and can find, like, a connection to, so that they can exist in this world in their imagination or whatever, they can feel like they're a part of what they're watching. I think the best way to do that is with somebody, like, I go back to fucking Gatak all the time. But Kagami is a great character for that because he's a fuck up.
He's fleshed out, but he's relatable at the same time.
Yeah, he has his entire personality, and his viewpoint is our viewpoint as the audience, and that's done through writing, acting, and plot progression.
And even if you
have three things that Ghost does not have going on right now.
And even if you haven't experienced personally, like even if your life is not Kagami's one to one, you can look at his situation and you can empathize with him because he feels like a real character who reacts realistically to things. And that's why you like him. Takeru is not that.
And you can have, like, over-the-top ridiculous characters that you care about. I mean, Shotaro in Double is absolutely over-the-top about 75% of the time. But he has a personality and a depth to his character that goes beyond just making silly faces.
Yeah.
And a lot of Ghost characters do not.
That's a damn shame.
We're shitting all over Ghost this week, everybody. Get on the train.
There was a part at the very end in the next episode preview that made me actually laugh quite hard. And that was, because, you know, they started it and they said, oh, next episode, and it showed two shots of Grateful Soul.
Yes.
Just totally silent, other than the music. There was no dialogue, no sound effects, not even any text on the screen saying, like, oh, a new form. It was just two blank shots of Grateful Soul, and it's a big mess. And I thought, yeah, that was pretty indicative of the show as a whole. Just here's a picture, and here's another picture of a suit. All right, there you go, kids. You love it.
Buy the toy.
This is the amount of effort we're going to put in.
Grateful Soul is fucking... The helmet is hideous.
I don't mind Grateful Soul as much as you. I think the helmet's okay.
It's fucking hideous.
It's visually busy as a suit. I'll give you that. It's very busy.
I'll tell you, what it reminds me of is Skyrim armor design.
Oh, just it gets spikier and spikier as the stats go higher.
Yeah, shit just keeps getting plastered to the basic leather helmet until it's like 10 feet tall above your head.
Sick.
And that's Grateful Soul.
Yeah.
I think that's all we have to say about Ghost. You hated it, and I liked it alright this episode.
Yeah, I guess that's it. Them's the breaks.
Them's the breaks. Do we have any news this time around?
We have some news. Not a whole lot, but we have some.
Let's hear about it.
Okay, so this week Toei teased a mysterious Kamen Rider project as part of the Superhero Year 2016. And it shows a silhouette of a rider that you can't really tell. I'm not sure if it's a new character or an old character. It's a mysterious silhouette and two boxes, like empty squares, empty white squares. And that's all it is. There's like a silhouette of a logo as well, but you can't make it out.
There's nothing else on this?
No, that's it. It's.
Yeah, I've seen that. I thought that there was more to that, though.
Nope, not yet.
What if it's Kamen Rider the next after the next?
Kamen Rider the third?
Kamen Rider again with this shit.
Well, maybe that's what Kamen Rider 1 will be, because fucking Inoue's writing it, but we'll see.
It scares the shit out of me. Every little preview seems like Hongo's all in it. He's got a personality again. He's not just standing there as a suit.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Like, remember when adults still watching this?
I don't want to be tricked. When? I don't want to be tricked.
I'm trying not to get my hopes up for it, but I really enjoy the basic setup of the idea. Like, Hongo comes back to Japan after fighting... I guess Shocker, still, all around the world.
He's always fighting Shocker, that's his day job.
And he has to like, rescue a girl who he helped to raise, and that's Tobei Tachibana's granddaughter.
Yeah, which is cool. I like that plot line.
Yeah, and Ghost is there for some reason.
For some reason, Ghost and Makoto show up. They're requisite.
Yeah, watch the new show, everybody.
Please, watch Ghost. Speaking of which, another trailer came out for the Rider 1 movie. Another week, another trailer.
Eventually, we're just going to have seen all of this movie.
Just piece it all together.
Tell us how it ends, Toei.
Yeah, just do it. Well, apparently, if the rumors are right, Hongo's going to fucking die.
Yeah, every single fucking bit of the trailer is like Kamen Rider 1's last adventure.
Yeah.
His final fight. His final transformation. Do you get that he's gonna die yet? He dies in this movie.
Maybe he's gonna retire.
He's gonna retire to a grave.
Anyways, the trailer doesn't show much. He does a rider punch. He does a transformation. That's all. You can check it out.
There was a photo that Iga Devil tweeted, or retweeted, of Hiroshi Fujioka without, like, in the suit, the new Kamen Rider 1 suit, the new Kamen Rider 1
new,
suit.
New.
Without the helmet on, so there's probably going to be some of that.
Yeah, there was a press event this week in which he appeared like that on a stage to talk about the movie, and I was going to talk about that, but I don't speak Japanese, so I don't know. It's just, to me, it's just a bunch of people rambling on a stage.
Yeah, who knows what the fuck they're talking about. They could have just got up there and been like, look, the birth rates in Japan are appalling.
We have to have a meeting about this, and Hongo has to be dressed up. Fujioka, rather, has to be dressed up.
Fujioka shows up and he's like, look, my knight armor is at the cleaner, so I just wore this from the set. I need to tell you people.
Please, start having sex right away.
Unwrap your dicks, goddammit.
Do not use protection. It's against Catholicism.
It's against Bushido.
It's against Bushido.
Is that racist? I think I was just racist.
Yeah, I think you were pretty racist there. That's fine.
Anyway. Is that all the news?
No. Christ, no. Holy shit, I saved the best for last.
Do tell.
So Deep Spectre is going to have a weapon. Oh, boy.
Oh, God, yeah.
Jeff, you have not seen this weapon.
No, Liam has specifically waited until we're recording this so he can show me this weapon.
I have hidden the weapon from Jeff, and I will hereby show the weapon to Jeff. Everybody listen.
Hopefully it's not a fist on the end of a gun.
Here it is.
All right,
get ready.
Let's see this shit. You gotta be fucking me. You gotta be butt-fucking-mucking with me right now. It's just the blue sunglass slasher.
No, it's not. Look, it's spikier. Look.
Toei, I want to sit down for a minute. I want to have a conversation. I know this is for children, but children are not brain dead. They can tell when a thing is the same thing.
I think Toei thinks children are brain dead.
They keep getting money from them.
Apparently.
A little bit less every year, though.
This ship's sinking very slowly, but not slowly enough for them to do anything.
Apparently not.
Not fast
also,
enough.
Also, Deep Spectre is apparently a deer of some sort.
He is like a reindeer. There's a lot more details you can see in this picture.
Yeah, it looks like he has a light-colored undersuit.
Yeah, like a white.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's just a fucking sunglass slasher.
It's a sunglass slasher. There you go. What should we have the weapon be for the rider form?
What do we already have that we can just spray paint?
Just use that again, huh? I mean, what?
We don't have any gold spray paint left, so we'll just make it blue.
Just paint it blue. Dip it in the blue vat. The gold vat's empty after all those roid needs.
Fucking hell, Toei. God.
I can't wait to see that in action.
I wonder what it's gonna fight like.
Oh, what is he at? Look, he could turn into a gun, too. Look.
Let's move on.
I have one last piece of quote-unquote news.
Alright, news me.
I found a video on the internet, and it's all of from Project Cross Zone 2, and it's all of Sagata Sanshiro's little party quotes when you use him as a support guy.
I'm gonna have to watch this after we're done.
Yeah, he's got unique dialogue for everyone. If you play him with, like, Ryu and Ken from Street Fighter, or with Mega Man and Zero, or with the guys from Yakuza, he's got unique dialogue for all of them, and it's all voice acted. So I'll post that on the blog, and you can check out. It's voice acted by Fujioka. You can look at that. It's very funny.
The best dialogue bit I've seen in the whole game is if you play as... If your team has Sakura from Sakura Tyson in it... There was a commercial, a Sagata Sanshiro commercial, where they're in love and frolicking through, like, the cherry blossoms, and that entire commercial is played out in 2D.
Yeah, that's in the story mode.
Between those two characters.
Yeah, they run around, the screen goes all pink, and they're like, Sakura-san!
That is absolutely the best part.
Yeah, oh shit. So you should watch that video. That's if you don't want to play Project Cross Zone, I hear a lot of people don't like it. I haven't played it. It has value for that alone. So you can check that out on YouTube. It's totally worth it.
I'm glad that you called that quote-unquote news.
Quote-unquote. It doesn't have shit to do with Kamen Rider. It certainly ain't news.
It's not
but
news. It's got Hiroshi Fujioka in it. That's honorary Kamen Rider territory.
Okay, sure. That's secondary. Secondarily.
I think I talked about this on the podcast once before, but he played a police officer in I guess it was some sort of detective show.
Mm-hmm.
And the opening to that show, I might be able to find it and we can put it in the blog. If not, you can just cut this shit out.
Nope. You think I edit
cut
this?
Cut that bit out. In the opening to the thing, he chases after some crooks, and him and his partner get separated, and he fires his gun in the dark, and his partner fucking gets shot. He shoots his partner with his gun. And he gets fucking horribly reprimanded and thrown off the force for it in the opening credits.
Okay.
And then he walks sadly into the sunset while his fucking theme plays. And every time I watch that again, I'm like, what fucking happens in the rest of the show? That was the whole story.
You could have made a movie out of that.
But you get to see a young Hiroshi Fujioka wearing a cool detective outfit.
That's pretty cool.
I'll try and find that.
So I have one last bit of news. I've been staring at the picture of the Deep Slasher this whole time, and I notice it has a little goblin nose between the glasses.
Are you fucking with me?
I'm not fucking. Look close.
Let me go back to this image.
There's a little red goblin nose.
Oh my god. Oh my god. It's like the nose on the fucking Green Goblin suit.
From the fucking Sam Raimi Spider-Man movie. Yeah. That's what it looks like. Holy shit.
It's a new weapon now.
New.
It's completely new weapon.
Now it's new, okay? Guess we got egg on our face.
Hopefully no fucking North American neckbeards talk shit about our special weapon now. We put this nose on it.
Thank God. John Toei. He saved it.
That was a John Toei idea. He came down from his fucking golden throne in his top floor office.
He descended from the nether.
And he said, you know what was really awesome? The Green Goblin costume in Sam Raimi's Spider-Man. Can we put something of that in this?
He's that guy who works on a thing who's like, he doesn't do any of the writing staff, but then he comes down and he looks at what they have, and he's like, add in like a robot spider or something, and then he goes back and... And they're all like, what the fuck do we do?
What was the name of that director who kept trying to get the fucking giant spider in every superhero movie?
Yeah, the guy that made Wild Wild West. I don't fucking remember.
He really wanted to have giant spiders and everything, and he finally got his wish.
I guess so.
So that was a waste of everyone's time and effort.
Ghost is like that, but with Javert. We gotta have more Javert.
I wanted to fucking point out that you made the joke a while back that Javert was going to just show up every time Takeru needed to get an upgrade. And guess what happens next episode? Now that Javert is back.
Javert is here. He's got the Icon Driver G. Javert, he wakes up Javert. Adele wakes up Javert and he's like, you know what you must do. You have to go and let Takeru kill you now. He's got the Icon Driver, Javert. You have a job to do. Shit.
Oh my god, I can't believe I was watching, and when Javert got back up, I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Liam is calling it with this show.
Here it comes. He's gonna die, and it'll be like, oh, his real body's dead, ooh. And then they'll be like, good thing we had his twin brother on reserve.
They already had two Javerts in this episode, like the Javert brothers.
Yeah, that's true, they had the Javert. Those are like the infinite clone Javerts, though. This is the real one who's much stronger, so you can show how strong Grateful Soul is.
Fucking, I can't believe that. Did you write this show?
I created it, don't you remember?
I remember you creating it, but I didn't know you wrote every episode.
Yep, I'm making it bad on purpose because it's funny.
It stopped being funny a while ago.
It's a meta joke, you just don't understand.
There's the Andy Kaufman joke right there.
There's my Andy Kaufman humor.
Alright, are you done?
Now the news is over.
Now we can go into the Super Sentai Second.
Oh boy. I watched Juojer this week. Did you watch Juojer?
I did watch Juojer this week.
What did you
think? There was a gorilla in it.
Yeah, it was a gorillate. It was a great episode.
You tried so hard. I could feel the fucking effort being put into that.
The strain in my voice. You gotta give me a pity laugh.
There you go.
Thank you.
What'd you think about this episode, Liam?
I liked it. Not as much as the past ones, but I liked it.
I agree.
The whole...
It was very much a children's show thing where we learn that just because one person has been mean to us in the past doesn't mean that all people will be.
It's the very ham-fisted, very obvious, racism is bad, kids episode.
To be fair, that's something the Japanese could probably really learn. That might be a good lesson.
Maybe so. Oh, fuck.
The Japanese are like, maybe we should accept gorillas.
Maybe.
Maybe we shouldn't be so... horrible to the gorillas in our zoos.
There's going to be a terrible rash of children now in Japan going out to the woods to find gorillas.
Yeah, because everybody knows the Japanese gorilla. It's the best animal.
They're going out to the zoos, the Japanese zoos, to find the gorillas and make friends with them and get horribly mauled.
Fun fact, Larry the Gorilla is voiced by the voice actor who did Joseph Joestar, Old Joseph, in Part 3 of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You could probably tell when he keeps going, "No!"
Yeah, I guess I didn't watch JoJo, I only read JoJo, so I didn't catch that.
You haven't seen any of the million compilations of Old Joseph yelling in English?
I haven't, actually, no. I remember him yelling in English in the manga.
Oh my god!
Yeah, but he's...
There's a great part where he goes, "Whoa, shit!"
Yeah. Not Jerry. Joseph Joestar.
Not Larry.
Larry, Joseph Joestar. Fuck.
But the best one that Joseph Joestar says is he says, "Son of a bitch!"
Yeah. But this episode...
He is the voice of Larry, and Larry is a great gorilla.
Larry, I enjoyed this episode because it wasn't... Other than the ham-fisted, you know, not all gorillas are bad episode, it's just an episode that's got a lot of character.
The cliche episode that happens in every children's show. Not all gorillas are bad.
All these networks trying to push this fucking political pro-gorilla message on our kids.
My favorite episode of Full House was the one where Stephanie... learned that the gorillas that moved in down the street to the trees were not bad people. Or bad gorillas, anyway.
If you can't tell if I'm laughing or crying, it's both. We talked more about fucking gorillas than we have about Sentai. You want to talk about Sentai?
I guess if we gotta.
So, I'm starting to settle into the pattern with Sentai. I'm starting to settle because that I haven't been in... since I watched Sun Vulcan a long, long time ago, which is like, you got a problem every episode, and it's resolved at the end of the episode, but maybe a character that's introduced gets to stay, and Larry is gonna stay.
The coolest part about this episode isn't this episode, it's next episode, where and Larry... the fallout of what happened in this episode.
Yeah, that's the most brilliant thing. Okay, so Takeru, Yamato's getting his ass kicked, and Larry gives him his power so he can turn into Juo Gorilla. And then the next episode preview, it's like, oh, Larry's dying because he gave you his power. Sorry, he's
aged.
Way
to go, Yamato!
He aged 100 years in the 3 days since we last saw him. Whoops.
That's great.
I love
that.
There's
consequences for their actions that continue throughout separate episodes. That's awesome.
Even if the main A plot is cliched and overdone, the actual little B plot bit, the little bit at the end is, like, completely turned on its head. On us, and I hate that I'm saying this, but I kind of hope Larry dies. I think that'd be very interesting.
No, Larry!
Larry, that could be his last words.
No! Right? No!
He blows up like a monster.
That would be so fucked up if he's, like, slowly dying, and he, like, reaches up and grabs Yamato's hand, and he's like, "My spirit will always be with you." And then he rolls over and just fucking explodes.
I like that the Juo-gers, my favorite thing about Juo-gers so far, it's like the Juo-gers are all fish out of water, but Yamato is the fish out of water among them. And it makes a really fun dynamic for them, especially when they're like, they don't understand social cues and stuff. And there's a lot of nice little comedy out of that. So it makes for a charming little show.
And it's a fun show. It's absolutely one of the most fun shows I've watched in recent time. And it's not... ridiculously stupid in the way that most fun shows try to be.
Well, the next episode preview here proves that. It's not just a dumb thing. There's
yeah,
some
by
cool
the way,
stuff.
Your friend is dying.
Yeah. It has, unless, like, I'm hoping there's not, like, a huge tone whiplash at that scene. I don't know how they would do it without having a tone whiplash, but I don't know. I'll put my faith in them because I like this show so far.
They do, like, small little heartfelt scenes fairly well. Like, the part where Yamato tells Larry that he's not going to hurt him and stuff.
Yeah.
That was actually a pretty well-done little scene, and it could have ended up being really shitty really easily. Because a guy is holding a Bigfoot suit's hand and telling him he's not going to hurt him.
It could have felt very cheesy and forced and out of place, but thankfully it didn't. I don't know how they keep doing it. They just play it totally straight. That's all you gotta do, really, is just put effort into it and play it completely straight, and it works.
Here's another fun fact for you. that hideous fucking monster at the beginning of the episode that's just a giant head on legs and arms coming out of it?
Yeah.
Is pretty obviously the reused T-Rex dopant body that I was talking about last week.
Oh, that's a crazy fucking coincidence.
From Kamen Rider Double. Like, it's the exact same size and shape, it's a different color, and it has shit coming off of it.
Oh my god.
It's the same suit.
That's hysterical.
And it looks just as bad now as it did then.
So that's how it looked in Double. It was a big dumb...
Yeah, it was a big dumb fucking foam dinosaur head with human arms and legs coming out of it.
That's really stupid. Do you think Georgia is killing off its main villains too fast?
I feel like there will be more main villains.
I hope so.
Because we don't know anything about the Death Galleons yet.
Yeah, yeah.
The only thing we know is that the guy with the glowing mouth is Guinness.
Yeah.
Is the leader of this group. We don't even know anything about the actual hierarchy of the Death Galleons. These guys could end up being small fries,
that's
for all
true.
We know.
I kind of hope the Death Galleons get fleshed out, because I like them as villains.
Yeah, I was shocked when Angry Cube Man... What's his name?
Angry Cube Man, I don't know.
Well, when Angry Cube Man dies, I was like, holy shit, really?
Yeah, really early.
That's crazy!
He fucking eats it.
I like that, actually. I wasn't expecting... Like, usually Sentai, in general, has a setup at the beginning with the monster showing up.
Mm.
Then they fight the monster dies, the monster gets turned giant, they pull out their shit and fight the monster and win. End of episode. This had, like, a completely different setup from the way the entire episode flowed.
Yeah, monster appears and then is completely out of the plot, and it's all about the characters, which is why you watched Georgia in the first place. So yeah, put those front and center. And
yeah,
you have
like
a good
the
show.
The whole invasion fleet force thing, they use their giant robot in the first 5 minutes of the episode.
Yeah.
And they destroy the fleet, and then the rest of the episode is characterization. You get another fight scene when Cubeman dies, but it's not the focus of the episode. And when you have such strong characters that you really care about, it's a great idea to focus on them over everything else.
Ghost writers, take note. What Georgia is doing right now is called the character arc.
They don't have characters in Ghost.
This is a very important thing to have. The thing with Larry, it's short, but it's a thing when a character, something happens to a character, and they deal with it, and they come out different in the end. Please take notes.
The gorilla body is still hilarious. The big foam muscle suit with the Hulk hands is hilarious.
Oh, the Juo gorilla, it looks fucking...
Yeah, the Juo gorilla. Larry's gorilla suit is also hilarious. But...
Yeah, yeah.
He looks like Planet of the Apes from, like, the 1960s, 70s or whatever.
One, yeah.
But, like, did you say Hugh Hefner?
The NRA guy.
Oh, God, no, I can't remember his name.
I confused him with Hugh Hefner again.
It doesn't
I always
matter.
Do
this
that.
This is not the NRA cast.
Okay.
It looks like Planet of the Apes, Charlton Heston. It looks like Planet of the Apes,
fuck.
But, like, less money went into it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I still like Larry.
Less money and more style.
Why is Larry dressed like a Rastafarian, but he speaks Spanish all the time?
Because that was the first person... He speaks Spanish, but a Rastafarian was the first person he murdered when he arrived on Earth to take their clothes. So that's why he's got that.
I'm guessing he dressed like that even in Juo World.
Yeah, I guess Jumans have all their own clothes, so...
Yeah, and nobody ever... This is the weird thing about Japanese media in general. You can walk around dressed like you're fucking cosplaying a character from the show that you're on, and no one will bat an eye at you.
Yeah. Jiranger was that, exactly. They dress like cavemen wherever they go, and everyone's like, welcome to my store, would you like some ramen? Hello, fine normal people.
Yeah, they walk around wearing, like, fucking... I don't even... It's not even a time period's clothes. It's just ridiculous-ass fantasy clothes
that
I love.
It's
and
weird.
And everybody's just like, hey, you want a job? You want to work at my fucking cafe?
We won't make you change your clothes. These people must be on their way to a convention.
I think Dan is the only character that wears normal clothes, because he gets the job at the restaurant.
Oh yeah, Dan from Jiranger gets a job,
He wears the regular clothes. Besides Mai. Mai transforms into regular clothes for disguise all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
But we're not talking about that. We're talking about Juodr.
This is Juodr, not Juranger.
Oh my god, I'm confused. Anyway, back to Geki, the best ranger.
Of course. Yamato, I love his outfit. I guess I haven't gone, like, I haven't mentioned that so far, but I love Yamato's costume. His, like, yeah, his normal costume, his human costume.
Yeah, he's got a great look. I especially like his, like, he has a scarf, and I know the name of that scarf. Akrama.
Akrama.
Yeah, it's a, like, Malaysian-style scarf, and I know that because I looked them up after I watched the movie The Protector, also called Tom Yung-Gung.
Yeah, I know The Protector.
You watched it with me, as a matter of fact.
Did we? We watched The Protector together?
Yeah, we watched The Protector.
That was that...
The Protector's the movie where Tony Jaa wants to get his elephants
back.
Yeah,
but the elephants, he protects the elephants, yeah.
Yeah,
I don't
we watched that together.
Shit, that must be where I've seen it then. I don't remember where I saw it, but I guess that's where I saw it.
If you haven't seen The Protector / Tom Yung-Gung, go watch that shit. Yeah, that is one of the fucking sickest action movies I've ever seen.
It's got a fucking fantastic action.
Oh, man. There's no there is actually characterization, but Tony Jaa can't act.
Tony Jaa is not very charismatic. Jackie Chan, he ain't. But he is
can't
good
act. But there is a goofy sidekick in it who's cool.
Yeah.
He can act. And there's elephants.
There's elephants, just like in Juodr.
That's true. Yep. Tusk is in this episode.
Tusk, he's an elephant.
There isn't a whole lot of the other... Actually, there is. The bit where they're trying to get Larry to accept Yamato by sneaking him into situations is hilarious.
Oh, yeah. A lot of physical comedy.
He just keeps appearing when the camera comes over. And it's great.
They're like, let's pull some weeds. Okay. And then it'll be a cut, and then Yamato's there. And he's like, yeah, pulling weeds is so fun, right, guys?
And Larry freaks the fuck out, runs away every time. It's great. There's a lot of great physical comedy. There's just great characterization. Juodr is awesome. I love Juodr.
Juodr does all the things right to make a good Sentai show.
I'm gonna have to probably start watching Ghost first and then watching Juodr. Like, holding off on it.
Clean the taste out of your mouth of Ghost.
Because by the time I finish Juodr and start watching Ghost, I'm like, shit, I wish I was watching Juodr right now.
Just watch Juodr twice. That's the real secret.
And just pretend like I know what happened in Ghost.
Just make guesses. Make wild guesses about Ghost.
That might be more entertaining for this podcast purpose. But that's Juodr this week.
That's Juodr. It was good.
It was good. How about some email, Liam? What do you think about that?
No.
Well, podcast is over,
everybody.
We have
an email. That's Rider Club Radio. Goodbye.
Fuck off. We're going to talk about some emails. Our first email is from Dexter. He says, hello, Jeff and Liam. Damn you, I don't even want to read the manga. How do I do that? Where do I start? I actually do want to read the manga. I'm just confused by the medium. Any ideas on how to start? Go to google.com, type in Kamen Rider manga, and then click on the first link.
There are lots of Kamen Rider mangos out there, but I would imagine you want to start with the original by Shotaro Shinimori.
The original is actually really great.
Yeah, yeah.
I like it a lot. So I would suggest to start with there. If you don't want to start with the original, the Kamen Rider Black manga does not follow the story of the show.
Yeah, I've read a bit of it. It's totally different.
It's totally different, but it's also really good.
Yeah,
and
very good.
Zetto is actually good as well. And I'm not going to condone illegally reading manga on the internet. But there's no other fucking way to read this.
If it's not, you know, available in English, then whatever.
Yeah, so take of that what you will. I'm not telling you to read it, but and download it illegally and read it on your computer.
I'm not telling you to break the law, but...
If you would like to break the law, I thoroughly endorse it.
So that's how to read manga.
Read from right to left.
You remember, that's an important thing.
My second question is, if Shout Factory took an interest in doing Kamen Rider like they did with Zuranger, how would you want it to be done? What series would you like it to be? Liam?
Oh. Realistically, they'd probably do Black RX for the same reason that they did Zuranger. And that, like, that's the familiar one that people know.
Oh, no.
That's the one that got the adaptation already, or maybe Ryuki,
I guess?
But the
thing is, like, Zuranger was... popular and well-liked in its own country.
Power Rangers was very popular and well-liked here, too.
Yeah, and Black RX wasn't super well-liked in Japan. It was alright. It did okay. It stopped the series dead for 10 fucking years, but... And Masked Rider is the laughingstock of tokusatsu television the world over.
That's true. So, I heard a rumor about why Kamen Rider had a break in the 90s. I heard it's completely unsubstantiated and probably totally fabricated, but I like it a lot. And
did
that is
Hongo Takeshi fall off his motorcycle and break his leg?
No, way better. they caught a guy who had like a rash of murders. He was like a serial killer. And they tracked him down and went into his apartment, and it was full of Black RX merchandise, and Toei was so ashamed that they stopped making it.
This sounds like the biggest fucking lie.
That's why I said...
Did you just make this up yourself?
No, I read it in it was some manga. It was about, like, the curse of Kamen Rider. How, like, if you play Kamen Rider, some bad shit happens to you. They were writing it around when Decade was out, and they said that about Black RX, and I remember reading that, and I was like, would that really... get Toei to stop a giant money-making machine?
There was a serial killer who killed children and then stuffed Kamen Rider Black RX toys inside them.
You're doing
that's
a fucking favor.
That's real.
Free Black RX toys for all the kids.
What a hero!
God. How do you be a Kamen Rider fan and be a murderer at the same time? How do you justify it?
Maybe you root for Shocker? I don't know.
Every episode you're like, Shocker. Oh no.
These stupid bug men keep defeating them.
What a tragic TV show this Kamen Rider is. Very nihilistic.
They'll never be able to murder people like I want to. Wait a minute.
There's no.
I could just murder them.
Oh my god. There's probably a lot of genuinely awful people who like Kamen Rider in real life, and I guess that's easy to reconcile.
Yeah, they're called our listeners.
Oh! Fuck!
Snap, snap!
Fuck! You get some fucking ointment for that burn. Shit.
Anyway. would you worry about people thinking, linking it to Power Rangers? Because I frequently worry about that. That's what Dexter says. And my response to that is, why does it bother people so bad?
Everybody I've ever spoken to about Kamen Rider links it, they always say, oh, it's like Power Rangers, and just for the sake of simplicity, I say, yeah, kinda, but better.
Yeah, it's like Power Rangers, but there's only one guy, and it's meant for a little older audience.
Yeah, if it helps people understand, that's them's the breaks.
I never really understood that, because it's not like Power Rangers is awful or anything. It's like a big media franchise, and everybody knows it. So if you want to have a gateway to get people into tokusatsu, that's a good path to take.
Yeah, Power Rangers is a fine gateway. I mean, it's not the one I would pick first, but it's the most realistic one for the Western world, if you're gonna...
Power Rangers is, like, obviously, like, for children, for, like, little kids.
Yes.
And people don't want tokusatsu affiliated with something or, like, seen as on that level of for children or whatever. But it is.
It is, you know, deep down. Maybe Kamen Rider is meant for a slightly older audience, but it's still a toy commercial.
Yeah, I mean, we enjoy a children's show.
A lot of people who are into children's media, people who, they scramble to make it seem a lot darker than it is. They sort of like... Yeah.
They try to make it seem more adult.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
They don't have to feel like a little bit of shame for liking it.
Just
or
watch a children's thing, okay?
Shame is healthy. Just deal with it.
A little humility. Kids media can be good.
And even if somebody's like, oh, is it like Power Rangers? I don't like Power Rangers. They're probably not going to like tokusatsu then.
Yeah, in general.
It's got a lot, especially if you're trying to get them into Super Sentai.
Yeah.
Because it's like very similar. To a degree.
To a degree.
Anyway. And if I had to do like the scale of what this is for adults and this is for children of tokusatsu, I wouldn't do it because it's dumb. Just enjoy what you enjoy. Don't worry about it.
I told my boss about it at work. We were talking about TV shows we watched.
You told your boss?
Me and my boss are very buddy-buddy. He's like your age. He's not like a 50-year-old man. He's like your age, Jeff. And,
way to tell people I'm less than 50. My image as a grandpa is gone now.
And he was like, we were talking about TV shows we watch, and he watches, you know, the Marvel shows and Sons of Anarchy and some stuff. And I was like, oh, I watch Japanese toy commercials. And he's like, He's like, what was that? And I was like, oh, it's, you know, Kamen Rider. And he's like, that's, I described it to him. I was like, oh, it's about, like, they transform and they're superheroes. And he said, that sounds weird as fuck. And he looked up a YouTube video on his phone and he was watching it. And he was like, this is like almost like a Jade drama. Like, what is this? And I was like, yeah, it's like a combination. And I went home that night and I looked it up on YouTube. I just typed in Kamen Rider to see what video he was watching. And if maybe it was me, but I typed in Kamen Rider and the first thing I got up was the Vietnamese sub of, I think it was like Movie War Ultimatum. So this was, that was my boss's first impression of Kamen Rider.
So he was like,
well, you just keep doing your thing, Leo.
This motherfucker watches Sons of Anarchy. Get out of here with that shit. That judgmental shit. I ride a motorcycle and I'm a free spirit. Let's buy some drugs. What a great show. Okay, that's okay. Enough for that question. Don't be ashamed of what you like.
Don't tell your boss about Kamen Rider.
Power Rangers love and fuck.
What's next, Jeff?
Our next question is from Dewey Defeats Truman.
Okay.
He says, do you have any writers for Toku that you enjoy in particular? I know when I hear Kobayashi, Oz, and Deno is working on a show, I get excited. Liam?
Me too! That was going to be my answer. I like Yasuko Kobayashi.
Kobayashi is always a good idea that the show is going to be good.
She did Ryuki. Although, she did write Tokyuger. So maybe not. Well, I don't think
Even watch Tokyuger, you fucking fake tokusatsu girl?
I watched enough Tokyuger to know I didn't like it.
It might, from what I hear, Tokyuger actually got really good. I just can't bring myself to watch it.
It's at least got a bad beginning, but maybe it's, I think Sentai is a formula that's a little more difficult to work within.
Mm.
Like, Kamen Rider, the way it is now, you can write a story about pretty much anything you want, as long as it involves people transforming.
Yeah, as long as they transform into something, you're fine.
Yeah, Sentai has to work within a more rigid formula, although I guess Kamen Rider is kind of, since Decade has fallen into a bit of a...
It's gotten pretty formulaic.
It's gotten a little more formulaic, but there are still exception shows.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but, I don't know, maybe she's just not good at writing Sentai, but I do like Kobayashi a lot. I'm a huge Kobayashi fan.
I agree with that. There's another end of that spectrum, though. You heard about it earlier in this episode, where if Toshiki Inoue is connected to a series or a movie, this sense of fucking dread just washes over me.
Why is he allowed near Kamen Rider?
Because he did some good things once.
He wrote Agito, and Agito's a fine show, but like,
he is the M. Night Shyamalan of Kamen Rider. He did one good thing, and he's been coasting on that shit for 2 decades.
See, it seemed like Toei was getting smart. They were finally like, Toshiki comes in, and he's like, hey guys, let me write some Kamen Rider. They're like, okay, write this novel. Write this manga adaptation of a 15-year-old show.
Yeah, he came in he was like, I got this idea about this guy who grew up eating his mom's shit. Can I put that in the show?
Great, write a book about it that hopefully no one will read. In a way, just get away. But they let him back for like the most important movie event ever. So I don't know. This seems like a bad idea. He wrote Kamen Rider the first, so he's perfectly good to write Kamen Rider 1. That's
the same
thing.
He definitely knows the character of Hondo Takeshi that you remember from your childhood. The whiny, pencil-necked dork who pines after a 16-year-old girl who treats him like shit.
Yeah, what a great movie.
Fucking the first and the next are the garbage dumpster of Kamen Rider movies.
They're, of the ones I've seen, they are the bottom of the fucking barrel.
That suit action, though, man.
Oh, it's fantastic, but, like, the writing is unbelievable.
Yeah, it's, if anything would ever make somebody think that Kamen Rider is just a shitty J-drama with no actual action in it, it would be the first and the next.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Although the next is The Ring.
That's true. Do we have any more emails, Jeff?
Oh, yeah. We got plenty more, baby.
Hit me with some emails.
Okay. Our next email is from Samuel. He says, hi, Jeff and Liam. Still loving the podcast. I was wondering how you both would think a secondary rider could be implemented into Kuga and your thoughts on how it should be design-wise. And he goes by Sam and calls himself our actual number one fan.
Oh, which is another contender. Words. Yeah. Another one enters the ring.
So what do you think? What do you think about secondary rider? I think we talked about this once before and just offhand, and we mentioned that Ichijo is basically already a secondary writer, but we both agree that that would be a really shitty thing to do to Ichijo's character.
You can't turn him into a writer, it ruins the dynamic. And I'm not sure, thinking about it now, I'm not even sure if you can have a secondary writer in Kuga, because Kuga is created under such specific circumstances. He just happens to be there when there is this one artifact. And, like, what else are you going to do? Have a second artifact? Or
they do it all the time.
I know, but it's bad.
It is. It's bad.
To just have that shit get pulled out. With Agito, it makes sense because it's, like, people who have special powers, yeah, right? And they're randomly inserted. So, like, when another one shows up, it's not crazy.
This
it's,
isn't, like, how we would want to, like, change the show. Like, if we would really want to do this. It's basically a what if. Like, a what if there was a secondary writer, what would it be like? Because I absolutely would never add a secondary writer to Kuga. Yeah. I think it would ruin the entire idea of the show.
In an ideal world, the secondary writer in Kuga could just be G3. It makes sense, because the cops are so involved in Kuga, they could have just taken a guy and said, we want a Kuga, which is what they do in Agito, but just they do it earlier.
It's funny that Hikawa might actually be a pretty good character in the Kuga formula.
Yeah, the hapless guy, the hapless writer, who's a slave to the whims of his bosses. I like that. I mean, Hikawa.
The cops in Kuga aren't, like, villainous in the same, or, like, nefarious in the same way as the cops in Agito, though.
The cops in Agito they're full of bad people, but they're not, like, as far as I've seen, they're not, like, a fully evil organization. They just got assholes like Hojo in them.
They're not, like, fucking smart brain or something. No. They're, like, they're the cops, but everything they do is just prickish.
Like, they're trying to capture Kuga, or capture Agito and shit, and
yeah, in a perfect world, the Kuga we got right now would still exist pretty much the exact way it does, just with more plot progression and interesting stuff happening in the center.
Yeah.
But in a world where there had to be a secondary writer, I think we've posted a picture of what I thought a secondary writer should look like before.
Yeah, the blue Kuga with
the like the Kuga that's based on a Kabuto. Like instead Kabuto Mushi.
Instead of a Kuwagata. So, I don't know who did that art, but I don't know either. Around there.
If you know who did that art, tell us so we can, like, give it attribution.
Give him a proper shout-out.
Yeah, we might post that on this one as well. It's a great piece of art. Everybody should see it. There's a previous Kuga, right? His name is Riku.
Riku, the king.
Yeah, like the previous Kuga, the ancient Lincho. Kuga.
Yeah.
I think having him be, like, sealed away and return to the world and not understand that humans are the Lento, to, like, see them in a similar sort of way as the Grongi, is like a lesser species he doesn't really have to worry about. He doesn't attack them or anything, but he doesn't try to protect them. He just tries to destroy the Grongi.
Yeah.
And he could be the secondary rider.
That'd be an interesting angle, but wouldn't he just be another Kuga, like, design-wise?
You could figure some shit out for that. Like, he doesn't have the Arkle or whatever, so he uses, like, the secondary belt that they created.
The backup Arkle.
Yeah, the backup Arkle, the Barkle.
I like to think that it goes all through the alphabet. The Arkle, the Barkle, the Tarkle, the Darkle. All the way to the Zarkle.
He uses the fucking Barkle, or whatever. Like, maybe they were trying to create a secondary one because they weren't sure he would be able to defeat the Grongi or whatever, and it's not finished, and it doesn't have the same, fucking, what's the gemstone called?
Oh, Amadam?
Yeah, it doesn't have, like, a completed Amadam in it.
Yeah.
Like, because at some point in the series, they create, like, the Grongi create, like, a false Amadam. And it could be some shit like that. So it's maybe that could drive him slightly crazy.
Yeah, that'd be neat.
That'd be an alright plot line to put in the center. Not run throughout the whole series.
Like an arc that resolves at, like, episode 30 or something.
Yeah, like maybe like a 5-episode, 6-episode arc or something.
I like arc riders. Those don't happen often enough.
No.
Where it's just like the rider is the arc, like scissors and stuff like that.
I think that would work out if there had to be one. Why doesn't Toei hire me? I'm, like, the best writer.
Look at all these ideas we got. We'll be the idea. We'll sit in the room and we'll tell other people what to do.
Everybody wants to hire an idea man.
with no marketable skills. Hey, write this for me. All right, good.
Here's an idea that you could have come up with yourself. Write that shit. We have some more emails.
More?
Yeah, I think maybe...
Never ends.
Kamen Rider Dank asks, which Rider series could have used another 10 episodes? And what Rider series didn't need 10 of its episodes?
Which Rider series could have used another 10? None of them. They're all long... They're 50 fucking episodes.
That's a long fucking series. And I think that's coming from the point of view of people who, like, fucking... marathon this shit. Once you get to a certain point in the series, no matter how good it is, you're like, holy fuck, I still got like 30 episodes left.
It's so long. I don't think any... there is plenty of space in Kamen Rider to do anything you want to do as a writer, and then some. I don't think there are any series that I can look at and say, I want 10 more episodes of that. If they end, they either end too late, or they end exactly where they want them to. I've never seen a series that I would want more of.
I don't think 10 episodes, but I think, I don't guess it's a spoiler or anything to talk about, like, after Agito ends. I'm not going to say any spoiler stuff, but okay. I would like to see, like, Agito's appearing and what happens because of that.
Oh, yeah.
I think that would be a cool, like, episode or two.
Yeah.
I think that might be really it. Most series are too long, and if they could use more episodes, it's to fix the shitty episodes that happened in them.
Yeah, like, you could say you could give Ryuki an extra 10 episodes to have all the 13 Riders, but I'd rather they just have the 13 Riders in the show.
Yeah,
that they
exactly.
Have.
You could give 10 more episodes to Kabuto for it to have a satisfying conclusion, but they could have just done that with the regular fucking show.
Kabuto was my pick for removing 15 or 20 episodes,
maybe?
My
pick is actually Kuga, even though I love Kuga. Removing 10 episodes in the middle of Kuga would make it, like, the perfect series for me.
Kuga could stand to be shaved, that's for sure.
That would make it, like, the perfect series for me.
Yeah.
I guess a lot of people, I haven't really seen Hibiki, but I feel like a lot of people would shave 10 episodes off Hibiki.
Yeah.
After it goes downhill after the writer change.
Oh, yeah, I hear Hibiki is a big retooling.
Yeah. A lot of people say it's not as bad as it gets credit for, though, but we'll see. I'm trying to keep up with Metronome subs.
Oh,
they put
out
new episodes.
Yeah. All right, any more emails?
Oh, you're done, huh? You got nothing else to say about that shit.
I got nothing else to say on this topic, yeah.
All right, one more email from Timeline.
Okay.
Timeline says, so guys, which Rider do you think had the most realistic origin or explanation from their powers? And oppositely, which had the most far-fetched explanation?
Oh my god, realistic origin,
What was Shin's origin? Isn't he just a fucking horrible monster?
Shin is a disgusting genetic mutant. Actually, that might be it.
Yeah. They tried to experiment on a human and they made an awful fucking mutant monster.
Yeah, that's pretty realistic compared to most of the other stuff in Rider.
Yeah. The least realistic is Ryuki, because you make friends with a mirror demon and you use a deck of cards to control your superpowers.
What about
and you
Deno?
Go inside the mirror.
What about Deno?
Deno is about time travelers from the future who come back in time.
I guess that's not that crazy.
I mean, they are Imagine, which are, like, creatures or whatever, but...
Yeah.
I still don't think it's as bad as mirror beings dragging you into the mirror.
You gotta make a contract with a monster, and that makes your shit red. Or blue, or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. Most Kamen Riders have ridiculous origins.
Yeah,
I guess the bog-standard kidnapped by an evil organization and turned into a cyborg isn't really that far-fetched.
It's far-fetched when you think about why they don't brainwash them first.
Yeah.
And then turn them
into
the super cyborg.
But they have to give
them
their, like, brain upgrades, their cyborg brain upgrades first.
Okay, give them the brain upgrade. Then brainwash,
just do it at
then
the same time.
Do the neck down.
Don't wake them up and gloat at them. That's unnecessary.
I don't know. I don't know what I would pick for most unrealistic. A lot of them are unrealistic.
Yeah, I mean...
Who knows, man?
Double doesn't even really have an explanation for his powers exactly. It's like, there's information in the world. They use
Jay
it to transform.
Jay gets his belt from a talking alien grasshopper.
He gets his belt from ancient spirits of the earth that live underneath the ground.
But there is the talking grasshopper.
There's a talking grasshopper in both Jay and Zetto, and in Kamen Rider World, it's treated as the same grasshopper.
Yeah, I figured it was the same.
Which is weird. Is it really the same grasshopper in both movies?
Yeah, he gets around, man.
He talks in Jay. The grasshopper talks. But in Zetto, it doesn't.
It communicates to his brain in Zetto. Yeah. That's the scene where the grasshopper jumps on his shoulder and stares deeply into his eyes.
Yeah.
And then he gets up and goes, "I understand," and runs off.
That fucking... He does. He stands up and goes, "Wagata!" And then runs away. But it crawls up on his arm, and I watched that movie with a lady, and she was fucking terrified at that scene. She was cringing away, going, "Oh, God, why doesn't he flick that thing off?" I was like, "'Cause it's his friend. Its name is Barry."
Barry, that was...
And she said, "You can give that fucking piece of shit the nicest name you want. It's still a monster."
Shit.
I don't know if that answered any questions.
I don't know. I forgot what the question
realistic
was.
Realistic is either Shin or Bog Standard Cyborg. Most far-fetched for me is Ryuki.
Yeah, I'd say Ryuki as well. I'd agree.
I think that's all we got.
That's the end of the episode.
Thanks for tuning in. We appreciate when you assholes listen to this.
We have an email. That's RiderClubRadio@gmail.com.
Yeah, if you send us some emails, we'll answer them on the show if they're good. And we'll everybody will enjoy it. It'll be a good time. Or you can just interact with us on Twitter at RiderClubRadio.
So do that. Do both of them. Do one of them. Don't do neither.
Don't do neither. That's some good-ass English you're throwing down right there.
I can't speak Japanese, I can't speak English.
You can speak French, though, because you're Canadian, right?
Yeah, totally. Perfect French.
Speak French for us, Liam.
Au revoir, mon amis.
Good night, everybody.
Mes amis. Bye.
Bye.
Smell like roses or nothing.
Smell like Cheeto dust and desperation.
Mostly sweat and plastic emanates from my room.